afternoon to you. Good day. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV on this wonderful Thanksgiving weekend holiday. And today we are talking about something so incredibly timely, and the show is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. Today we are talking about bariatric surgery, and on the show today as a guest we have Dr. Wanchick. She is a bariatric surgeon over at St. Vincent's Southside. The phone number to call in is 904-340-1045. Again, that is 904-340-1045. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you were telling me as you were coming in that you didn't feel like today was a 6 on the weather meter.
I did not. No, it was not a 9. Definitely not.
Oh, it was 9. That's
what
it was. Yeah,
it was 9. I really feel like it should be sunnier before we clear 8.
So what would today qualify for in your eyes?
I'm giving this probably a 5.
A 5?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
It is super nice outside, though, so we hope everyone out there is enjoying this lovely holiday. Today's topic of the show, it feels like it's a bit timely.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Something people want to talk about right after eating all that turkey and that stuffing and everything.
Yes. It is a good time to start trying to talk about this. It's something we should all be thinking about, especially now. We're looking at a third of the population being either overweight or obese, and the problem just isn't getting any better. A lot of people feel as though surgery is too big of a step. It's too invasive. They feel like it's scary. And I just kind of want to debunk some of those myths, get more education out there, and really give people an idea of what we can do with surgery, that they can't do on their own.
Well, I mean, I guess that's sort of the debate that people have is when can I make a lifestyle change, and then at what point is surgery the best option for me? And there's several different options for surgery. Obviously, you have the gastric bypass, you have the balloon, the sleeve, the duodenal switch, which I don't think we're actually going to talk about much today.
It is not done very often.
No.
It is a great operation for the right patient, but that's definitely a very effective operation. When we look at the success rates of any of these procedures, what we consider it is the amount of excess weight loss that you lose. So you calculate your ideal body weight, figure out what you actually weigh right now. The difference between those two is your excess body weight. When we look at the duodenal switch, you can safely say probably 75 to 80% of your excess weight loss can be lost with that operation. However, it does require a lot of follow-up. There's some more complications that go with that as far as nutritional deficiencies that you don't see with the rest of the operations. So that's definitely, that's the Hail Mary. That's the last option usually.
All right. Well, that's probably the largest amount of time we're going to spend on that specific one for the rest of the show. So I guess, I was looking over some statistics, and it looks like Jacksonville is the 12th fattest city in the U.S. according to a recent study. And I do love new studies. 25% of Florida and 27% of Georgia are considered to be obese. And obesity is the second leading cause of preventable death in the United States. Do you happen to know what the number one leading cause of preventable death is then?
Oh, preventable? I don't know what the number one is.
Neither do I.
I got to figure that out.
Right. So you're talking about the second leading cause of preventable death. And before, the mics turned on, we were talking about the different things that really obesity can cause. And, you had mentioned diabetes and even to a certain extent, whether they're talking about like hip or like knee replacements, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And so you wanted to take this a little bit more as looking at the surgery is not so much of a weight loss thing, but what was the phrase? A metabolic syndrome.
Exactly. With obesity comes a constellation of health problems that is metabolic syndrome. That includes your high cholesterol, your diabetes, your high blood pressure. And these are all things that increase the wear and tear on your body as we get older. And so there are still a decent number of people in the world that think that bariatric surgery is a cosmetic procedure. They see it as completely elective and really only serves to, make people hot. And my main goal in life is not to make people look great in a bikini. It's wonderful if it happens. However, my main goal is to fix the metabolic problems, the metabolic conditions, the comorbid conditions that in the end are going to make people die earlier than they should.
Mm-hmm.
So what our aim is with surgery is to get rid of your diabetes, to get rid of your high cholesterol, and all of the other health problems that go with it. So it's not just for losing weight.
And so how soon, and obviously that's going to, I would assume it would depend on the type of surgery people have, but, how drastic and how soon do some of those other health conditions really start to improve?
Sometimes it's actually shocking. I've had people who come in for surgery, and they're on insulin and they leave the hospital off insulin. So there is a metabolic change, a hormonal change that happens, especially with the bypass and especially with the sleeve, that you just don't get with some of the other operations. And it's so all of the effects aren't completely determined by the weight loss. The actual surgery itself changes your hormonal signals. At the top part of the stomach, there's the leptin and ghrelin center that controls your hunger and satiety. And by separating that from the flow of food or removing it completely, we really alter people's appetites. We alter their cravings. And the metabolic changes happen almost immediately.
And so that's the hunger hormone, mm-hmm. as people call it then.
Yes.
And so you're changing. So it seems like there would be a natural amount of a lifestyle change that would also encompass that then if you're changing the hormonal balance that people have.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, you want people to be up and moving around. You want people to make healthier choices, because in the end, I can do a wonderful operation and I can technically be perfect. But the operation itself is a tool that people can use along with their lifestyle changes, increasing exercise and healthier diet. But they can still overcome my operation if they keep doing the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. So I was watching a video earlier on YouTube, and there was a young lady who was talking about her gastric bypass. I think it was a little over a year after she had had it. And, I think in the video she said she lost like 215 pounds or something. And, you know, she was showing her body and everything for the YouTube clip. And one thing that she said when she was giving advice to other people that were about to have it is to really take advantage of changing your lifestyle habits as far as your eating habits, mm-hmm. as soon as the procedure is done, when you aren't craving those foods anymore, because she was saying that those cravings come back later, and she had these really weird cravings for like chips and ice cream, but she regretted not changing, I guess, the habits as soon as she had the surgery.
Yes, and actually we want people to change their habits before surgery. Mm. A lot of times for insurance companies, they require a 4 to 6 month period of diet and exercise for some of them before the patient is allowed to have an operation. And during that time, we really lay the groundwork to make them successful in the future. So we're visits with a dietitian. We want people getting to the gym and doing something, because if you start to make that a habit before surgery, your surgery will be that much more effective. We find it a lot after surgery that people's appetite has changed, especially for the first 6 months. I've had people need to remind themselves. They set an alarm on their phone to remind themselves to eat because they just don't have an appetite. And so that's kind of the honeymoon period where the weight just falls off and it's easy. And so that's why we want to instill those good, healthy habits before surgery, so that afterwards, when your appetite does come back and when the cravings do come back, you're well prepared to deal with it.
Can we talk a little bit about, and again, phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Dr. Wanchick here on the program with me today. Can we talk about people that perhaps this shouldn't be an option for them yet? What do they look like? Is there a certain BMI you're mm-hmm. looking for? Is there a certain, I've tried this and just nothing's working?
So to qualify for surgery, you have to have a BMI of 35 with a obesity-related health problem, or a BMI of 40 or greater without an obesity-related health problem. Typically that'll be high cholesterol, diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea is definitely a criteria.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because normally it's that excess weight that people carry around their neck and in their soft palate that obstructs their airway while they're sleeping. So we can make that better with weight loss. People sometimes think, well, that just means I snore. And, you know, sleep apnea is not that big of a deal. It's a huge deal, mm-hmm. because when people stop breathing during the night, that puts your heart at risk because your oxygen levels decrease. You're at higher risk for an arrhythmia. So these are all things that can lead to an early demise that we're trying to get rid of with surgery.
And I would think, too, the those CPAP machines, they aren't necessarily the quietest, inventions out there in the world. So, it seems like you would have sort of a twofold approach to this. Not only, if you did decide to have the surgery, that you would look better and feel better and you'd have more energy and mm-hmm. The diabetes would go down. But it seems like, your loved ones sleeping in the same bed would also appreciate that.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Bit.
And they just don't look all that comfortable to me.
No. And you still have the lines on your face mm-hmm. for a little while after waking up in the morning when you go into the office.
No, thank you.
I guess also when you're talking about like the little changes that happen after, the one thing that's really hard for a lot of people, if you are over, it's hard to go into a gym.
Yes.
if you don't feel good about yourself. I mean, that's the thing about going into a lot of gyms is there just seems like there's a whole lot of pretty people, and so you don't feel comfortable working out in them. And it would, I would at least think that after having a successful surgery, people mm-hmm. would be more likely.
Right, they will. Also, though, I give a lot of people other options. All I want is you to increase your activity more than what you're doing right now. So even if it is you go from sitting on the couch after work every night to taking a walk with your loved one or walk by yourself. I also tell people that the videos that you can use at your house, the exercise videos, are great because you can get sweaty, bright red, mess up the dance moves and all that in the privacy of your own home with nobody watching.
How much does screen time play a factor in this? Screen time? Because I've heard the argument that part of the reason why there's such high obesity rates, and you know, I don't know whether or not it's true, but the amount of screen time we're getting, whether that be the phone or the TV or the computer, and that kind of that's what I thought of when you were talking about the exercise videos. But how much is just cutting down on one's screen time? Can that have an impact on their overall lifestyle?
I think that cutting down your screen time will basically increase the quality of your whole life,
right.
Whether it's your interpersonal relationships, your weight, your health, but that's a whole nother story. But there's just a lot of times you say, I'm going to go to the gym, then you get caught up on Facebook mm-hmm. or your favorite show's on and you forget how to use the DVR. So there's that really it's leading us to be more of a sedentary population overall.
You want to go ahead and take a phone call?
Sure.
All right. Let's go ahead and go over to Cindy. Cindy, over on the south side, you are on Ask the Doctor. What's on your mind?
Hello. I was just listening to the doctor. You were saying how right after the surgery, your metabolism can change where you may not even crave the foods that you once did. And the reason I was concerned about that is I have a nephew who had that surgery done, and he just wouldn't change his eating habits and just gain weight. But his mother was convinced that she's going to go ahead and have it done because he was kind of born that way. You know, as a baby, he was obese, and it just continued on through his adult life. So does the stomach can still control? I mean,
you know, after surgery, it's very interesting. I think we're all at a disadvantage because our stomach is so stretchy. So even when we reduce the stomach to the size of an egg, afterwards, if people overfill their stomachs, they can stretch it back out again. Also, people who don't follow the dietary guidelines and are eating more often and a little bit more than they should at each meal, they're going to naturally gain weight back. So this is why I say that we can do the most technically perfect operation. But for some people, the lifestyle changes are the hardest thing. I've had people tell me that they just thought after surgery it would be plug and play, that they wouldn't think they would have to worry anymore about what they eat and exercising. And that's not true. It really does require lifelong work afterwards.
Okay. I was just wondering that. So for some people, it's just like being addicted to cigarettes. That food craving's just, it's more on the tongue than the stomach.
Yes.
Yes.
That has more to do with what's between your ears than what's in your stomach.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm wishing his mother the best of luck.
Tell her to just stick with it and be tenacious.
I will. And one other thing, and I don't know if you're privy to this information or what, but I mean, I don't need it myself. But
hey, Cindy, I don't mean to cut you off. Can you hold on really quick? I got to go to a commercial break. We have to do what you call paying the bills here. So I'm going to put you on hold. As soon as we come back, we're going to go ahead and continue on with that phone conversation. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. Dr. Wanchick here on the in the studio with me. Ty Ingram is our producer behind the boards, keeping us honest. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Stay with us. Sticking with with us. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. My name is Sim Tompkins. The show is brought to you each and every single Saturday at 2 o'clock by St. Vincent's Healthcare. Today we're talking about bariatric surgery. We have Dr. Wanchick here in the studio with us. She is a surgeon over at St. Vincent's Riverside. Unfortunately, Cindy did get dropped from the line. But Cindy, if you want to go ahead and call back in, we can make sure to take your call. The phone lines are open. 904-340-1045. Just to update the audience, we did figure this out. The puzzle was solved. The number one preventable death for people in America is smoking. So no surprise there.
No, I don't think that's surprising at all.
So we're talking about the different surgery options, and the next segment we're going to have a bunch more time to get into that. So before we do it, a couple of questions following surgery is obviously people's nutritional intake is going to change. So do people oftentimes after having the surgery, do they have to take supplements and that kind of thing?
Yeah, and there's this misconception that you're going to have this bucket of vitamins that you got to take every day, mm-hmm. and you're not going to have any room left for food because all you're going to do is take vitamins. And that's not true. After surgery, we have people on a multivitamin, a vitamin D supplement. Women will get an iron supplement and calcium. And so it's essentially the multivitamins that you should be taking anyway at home. And okay. It's very easy. It's not high maintenance like everybody thinks it is.
You know, one thing with losing a ton of weight is you're going to lose a lot of that weight, and oftentimes it's really quick.
Yes.
And a lot of people are going to ask you about it. With your patients, how do you advise them on what to say to their social circles?
There is some change in your social circles afterwards, because there's going to be a lot of people who kind of your friendships are based on you being and looking one way. And so I've had actually people tell me that they lose some friends afterwards. Some people are actually they are worried about being more social and going out, and they're worried about the temptations and the cravings with food. And there's going to be changes in your body, especially with excess skin. And a lot of people are very worried about hair loss, and that's not always an issue for everybody. And so we take that on a case-by-case basis. And I really like to I like to see my patients regularly, and I want to hear about all this from my patients. And especially that's why we have support groups, so they feel like they're not alone, because they're not alone. Everybody's worried about it. Everybody has one of those concerns, and everybody has one of those conditions after surgery.
One of the hardest things about dieting, really, in general, is that a lot of our social settings in life, they're surrounded by food and drink, whether or not it's going out to eat, or even if it's just going out to the bar, going over to a friend's house where they have a cheese platter on the table, whatever the case might be. How do you advise people on how to navigate those social settings that are involved around food and drink after surgery?
You know, and I understand all this, because I think I've been on a diet since about 95.
Okay.
And really, so much of what we do socially is centered on food. And people worry that after surgery, they're going to have no social life. They're never going to be able to go out. And you can. You just have to plan well for it. We want you to be able to eat all the same foods that everybody else does. You're just going to eat less than you did before. And so really, afterwards, it's going into the situation with a good plan and controlling your portions and enjoying the people that you're hanging out with more so than the food focus.
Well, speaking of lifestyle changes, there's going to be, I would assume anyway, a minute of, that's not the right word, either way, a whole bunch of lifestyle changes that are going to happen directly following the different procedures that people might do. Where does that kind of start?
Like I said, we start pre-op for all the lifestyle changes. We really do have people measuring their portions beforehand. People do worry afterwards that, you know, they think that they're not going to be eating enough food. And so we try to get them used to what the portion looks like that they need, not the portion that they want. And we really do have people just gradually start increasing their activity level. And so it starts from the day that we meet them. We plan it out and we give good recommendations, and we want to see them starting on day one. To embrace it, because you can't wait until after surgery. That's when you'll get into trouble, and that's when things aren't a habit yet, and that's when you're in that honeymoon phase, and then people think, this is fine, this is easy, and that's when the weight gain comes back.
So speaking of building habits, and there's one in particular that obviously we're going to go into these in detail in the next segment, but there's one, the balloon.
Yes.
Where it seems like that one in particular is really about building habits, because a balloon gets taken out. And so what's the science behind it? Like, you have to do something for 6 or 9 months or whatever before it really becomes a habit?
Yes, absolutely. And there's some people that say in 3 weeks things become a habit. But I always tell people, you've had your whole life of doing things one way. you know, 3 to 6 months is not enough time for you to overcome all of that. It's going to take a lot more work than that. The balloon is a nice non-surgical option that we have right now for people whose BMIs are between 30 and 40. And if anybody would like to calculate their BMI, there's a very complicated, but look it up on a website. The equation is too much.
Yep, we will get the website for you when we come back. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Dr. Wanchick here in the studio with me. My name is Tim Tompkins. Ty Ingram is producing the show. It is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. We have a look at your news, weather, and traffic. A look at the roads out there with Trish Hobby coming up next. The doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Joining me in the studio today, I have Dr. Wanchick. She is a bariatric surgeon over at St. Vincent's Southside. The show is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. My name is Tim Tompkins. Ty Ingram producing the show today, answering your phone calls. The phone line to call in, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. And, you know, like I said, we're talking about bariatric surgeries and weight loss options and that kind of thing. And so, doctor, if somebody wants to contact you at your office, how can they?
Yeah, I'm working at the North Florida Surgeon's Office out of St. Vincent Southside. Our office phone number is 904-296-4141.
So that's 904-296-4141. Website or anything?
We have St. Vincent's Healthcare has a bariatric website. All right. And if you just, the easiest way is, one more time, just Google it.
Yep. There you go. Also, speaking of Googling, we're talking about body mass indexes. Mm-hmm. If you Google BMI calculator, there's a wonderful tool right there at the top in case you're curious and want to figure that out for yourself. So enough of me talking. Let's go straight to the phone lines. We have Steven. Steven over in Georgia. You are live on Ask the Doctor. What's on your mind, man?
Hello?
Yeah, Steven.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
I just want to ask Doctor, would I be a good candidate for bariatric surgery? I have multiple health issues, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high triglycerides, diabetes, sleep apnea. I had renal failure and severe pancreatitis in July 4th, as a matter of fact. And in December of last year, I had 20 inches of my colon cut out from severe diverticulitis.
Okay.
And
hey, Steven, how young are you?
I'm all right.
How young are you?
How old am I?
Well, yeah, either way.
I'm 37.
Okay. You know, I would say that even with your history of abdominal operations, nobody is counted out just for having previous operations. And especially with problems with your kidneys and high blood pressure and diabetes, you're too young to let those keep going. So I would say absolutely yes.
Okay. I mean, currently, I mean, I'm seeing endocrinologist, cardiologist, and all of that, and they all have me on this strict fish and chicken and green vegetables only diet, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I
the Mediterranean diet?
basically, it's the do what the doctor tells you diet.
Oh, yay.
I was 300 pounds when I went into the hospital in July.
Mm-hmm.
And from laying in that hospital bed and then coming out, I lost 31 pounds just from them basically starving me to death because I couldn't eat or drink anything.
Right.
You know, during that period. And they took my gallbladder out and all this stuff. So, I mean, to control all of my health issues, they put me on this diet, you know, fish and chicken and green vegetables only, basically, and limit the bread that I eat. And the only bread that I basically can eat is wheat bread.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, you know, and I would
I
tell you,
going to Weight Watchers, and you know, it's helping. It's just, I was looking maybe at this surgery.
Yes, I think that it's a good possibility for you. You know, having lost weight in the hospital is great, but when you go back to normal life, the tendency is for that weight to come back.
And it has slowly started coming back.
Exactly. And even with this kind of a diet that you're on, you're going to struggle with this. And with the health problems that you have and the damage that it's doing to your body, you can't keep letting that go on. So you may need more of a drastic measure than just diet alone. So I would say I would recommend absolutely find a surgeon. Even if you want to come down here, I'm more than happy. And just have a conversation and kind of get all the information about it and figure out which operation you might be interested in.
Okay.
Good
all
luck.
Right, I appreciate that.
Thank
you. I'll see if I can get my doctor to send me a referral.
Perfect.
Sure thing. Thank you so much for the phone call, Stephen. We appreciate you. And again, if you do want to see Dr. Wanchick, her office number is 904-296-4141. Again, that's 904-296-4141. And for more overall information on St. Vincent's bariatric weight loss services, you can go to jackshealth.com/services/bariatrics, spelled with an A, not with an E. It's pronounced that way. So let's go to Kate. Kate, thank you so much for staying on the line. What can we do for you?
Hello?
Hey, you're live on Ask the Doctor. What can we do for you, Kate?
Hi, Ken. How are you? Ken, I just thought that I'd call in. I heard you as I'm driving to Daytona Beach. I had a gastric bypass in 2001, and I've lost over 400. I weighed over 400 pounds, and I've lost 250.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And what I'd like to do is to change my entire life. And change my whole life. I would like to give back how I used to when I was in New Jersey, where I had it done. I would go into the hospital and talk to patients before they had surgery to kind of reassure them. And I have a lot to give. I have a lot to talk to about, tell you about this. The doctors that did the surgery for me at that time was like the beginning, like the pioneer almost. He has since passed away. I've been on my own more or less for about 15 years. I've lost all the weight that I needed to lose. I look beautiful. I do have some issues, but I have no one that I can talk to about the issues that I have. I have to tell you that food is still an obsession. I always have to have something in my purse to nibble on, a couple of crackers or some nuts. Something to nibble on, but I can eat anything and everything that I want, anything, just in small amounts. And do I have any questions from the doctor if she needs me, or if I'm going to talk to a group? I would love to do that. And I would like to talk to someone about the issues I have after the surgery. I'm still taking vitamin B12 shots because I was told that because of the surgery I lost the intrinsic factor in my stomach and it's hard for me to absorb the B12. But that's it.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We really do appreciate you. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put you on hold, and our producer, Ty Ingram, he's going to go ahead and get your information in that somebody can follow up with you starting early next week. So thank you so much for that phone call. We do appreciate you. And again, the phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. And Dr. Wanchick here in the studio with me. She is a bariatric surgeon at St. Vincent's Southside. My name is Tim Tompkins. We have 7 minutes left. I want to make sure we actually talk about these surgeries, if you don't mind.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So there's a couple of them I wanted to go over with you. Started off with the gastric banding. Pros, cons. It looks like that restricts the amount of food and liquid that you can eat in one sitting. I was reading, and one of the things it was saying is that the studies are showing that after 10 years, weight loss is only down to an average of about 13%.
You know, we put a lot of bands in for a lot of years. There's some really nice things about the band. It's adjustable, so, you know, different people require a different amount of saline in the band to make it a little tighter or looser. The operation is very quick. A lot of people are attracted to the fact that we don't change your anatomy. We're not removing any part of your stomach. We're not touching your small intestine like we do with some of the other operations. However, we are finding that the weight loss overall is less. with the band, you don't remove or alter that hormonal center in your on your stomach. So you don't have a lot of the hormonal changes that you'll have with the other operations. So there's not as good of an improvement in diabetes or high blood pressure or any of the other comorbid conditions.
And because you aren't losing that hunger hormone, as it's called, does that make the process of, and you know, like you mentioned a couple times in the show, people should be starting that before they, mm-hmm. they have the surgery, but it's all about keeping habits. Does that make the process of changing their eating habits extremely more difficult?
It depends. I've seen people who flew through, lost a ton of weight, and did great. But this does require a lot more self-control, and it does require a lot more willpower, I think, than the other options do. But this is a really good option. For some people, this is all they need. But we're finding with the data, we're doing a lot more taking bands out than putting them in right now.
Who is it not a good option for?
Binge eaters.
Okay.
Yes,
binge eaters.
Absolutely. We find that binge eaters don't do quite as well. I also would probably recommend against this for people who are more concerned with diabetes. Because, like I said, that's one that you just have to cure. You have to control, mm-hmm. and the band itself won't do it.
Well, you were talking earlier on the show, Doctor, about the metabolic. The purpose of this isn't cosmetic. It's really a lot of it's to solve a lot of those issues that the obesity causes. Gastrectomy.
Yes. We're switching more towards, as a nation, doing more sleeves. The sleeve is a great option. Like I said, it removes that leptin and ghrelin center that's in your stomach. With this operation, we basically turn your stomach from the size of a football to basically like a banana. So we make a small tube. There is no rerouting of your small intestines. And with this, you are limited in the amount that you can eat. However, you also do have that hormonal change that alters your cravings and your appetite.
How is this different than the gastric bypass?
Well, with the gastric bypass, we turn the stomach itself, we divide it and make a pouch about the size of an egg. Uh-huh. And we divide your small intestine and bring up a loop and attach it to that little pouch and then reattach the small intestine further down.
Whereas this is just taking off half of the stomach. Essentially?
Exactly. All we do with the sleeve is remove about 80% of your stomach.
All right. Weird question.
Yes.
With either the sleeve, mm-hmm. where does the rest of the stomach go? Do you guys take it out of the person?
With the bypass, it stays in place. Uh-huh. With the sleeve, we remove it. And we just send it to the pathologist. We give it to them.
So what happens when it's just sitting in place right there in your stomach? Is that...
No, because the blood supply stays intact. To do a sleeve, you have to remove a large portion of the blood supply. Mm-hmm. So in that operation, you can't leave that excess part of the stomach in place.
Right.
We don't disturb any of that when we do the gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. We just make a little pouch on the top. So the stomach is still in place, still making the gastric juices and the acids to help you digest the food later on.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to visualize this in my head. I mean, the one thing about being a doctor is I assume that your hands must be so incredibly steady.
Yeah, usually.
I mean, does somebody, I'll take that as an all the time, but is somebody that was aspiring to become a doctor, if they don't have steady hands, is that just not the profession for them?
I think it's more intestinal fortitude because surgery
I could see that.
Surgery yeah. is a whole lot of fun until it isn't.
Right.
And so it's getting through those unfun times that is really what you need.
Surgery is a whole lot of fun until it isn't. I hear you. Gastric balloon. So this one we talked about a little while ago.
Bit, yes.
So you're taking, and this is the one where it's kind of teaching people to form habits because you have this balloon, you stick it down the stomach, and mm-hmm. it essentially makes people feel fuller than they really are. And that stays in there for what, about 6 months?
Mm-hmm. And then it has to come out. The balloon has got to come out. We had older versions of this, and the problems that they had were people were leaving it in for too long. The balloon was deflating and heading downstream and causing bowel obstructions. So that's no good. So with this, it's a little bit of a tougher material, and it can stay in, but it has to come out in the end. And people are losing, in the American studies, on average, about 23 pounds with this. And that's the early data from the FDA approval studies. So... the biggest part of this is it does help you feel more full than you are. It helps you decrease your portion sizes, but the patient still has to make good decisions and has to continue to make those after the balloon comes out.
And they would, I mean, really, they should be doing that with all of them,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you have these, someone is considering these different options and, you know, part of your job, I'm assuming, is to really guide people into making the appropriate choice for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help facilitate that decision?
You know, the great thing about this is that we have multiple different options, so there's not just a one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
We see better resolution of comorbid conditions with the bypass. So for some people, if their goal is to get rid of their diabetes, and they've been diabetic for a while, that tends to be where we will, where we'll go. Some people are very against me removing any part of their anatomy, and so the band is an option for them. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, we sit down and have a very clear conversation about what the expectations are, what the differences are as far as, you know, how much willpower you have to have after, and the long-term effects of each of the different operations to come up with what works best for them.
Well, cue music means we got to take a break. We have one segment left, though. So if you do want to go ahead and get in a phone call, you can do so. 904-340-1045. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Dr. Wanchick here in the studio with me. My name's Tim Tompkins. Stay with us. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Dr. Wanchick here in the studio with me. She is a bariatric surgeon at St. Vincent Southside. Before we get out of here, Doctor, I want to talk to you a little bit. So somebody has some questions, and they want to go ahead and contact your office. Are they therefore obligated to have a surgery just because they go and they go see you at a seminar or call your office, come in for a visit?
Absolutely not. You know, it never hurts to ask. Just to come in, we'll have a conversation, get some information, get all your questions answered. I will never say that surgery is an easy decision to come to. And I believe that the patients have to be comfortable with the procedure and who's doing the procedure. So go talk to somebody, meet with a surgeon, go to a seminar, and get all the information that you can to make as informed of a decision as you can.
And the phone number for your office, that's 904-296-4141. Again, that is 296-4141. Somebody is preparing to go see somebody such as yourself for the first time. What should they have prepared as far as questions and knowledge about themselves and that kind of thing?
Really know your surgical history, know your medical history. Diabetics, please know what your A1C is. And really think about what your goal is for the surgery. Some people really do just want to lose weight and look good in a bikini. That's absolutely fine. But know what your goals are. Know what procedures you want to, what health problems you want to get rid of. Know what procedure you absolutely don't want. And go online and look at some of the procedures and figure out what your concerns are so we can address those.
As far as after surgery, the body kind of naturally, while you're dieting, makes you want to gain more weight. Mm-hmm. How do you help people afterwards stick with the good habits they built that they started before the surgery?
Really, routine follow-up is compulsory for this operation. You know, we used, in the old days when they did this operation, they did the procedure and, hey, have a great life, see you later. And that's just not the best way to be effective. So come to support group meetings. We have them regularly, just so you can see what issues other people are having and what they've done to combat those. See your surgeon. Regular follow-up with your surgeon will help head anything off at the pass and make sure you're staying on track. And also, I really believe that you need to every couple times a year forever see a nutritionist so they can sort of help see where you are with your diet and where you can make little improvements, because this is never, I mean, you're going to have lifelong maintenance with this to be as successful as you can be.
So we were talking a little bit about sleep apnea and, mm-hmm. and how really this can make your spouse really happy. You know, but the thing about people is a lot of time, if they have a lifestyle change, whether that be a diet or really whatever the case is, that impacts everybody in the family, right? Because everybody sort of needs to help out as much as they can with this. So do you have any advice or any ways that you really coach people through how they can talk to their loved ones who maybe they don't want to go on a diet with them?
I usually will meet the spouse or the significant other of the patient at some point during this process to make sure that they're on board, because you can't be successful in a vacuum. And if you're fighting cravings, you can't have your family constantly having them around.
Sure, they can't be sitting next to you on a couch just like downing popcorn all night.
No, that's just mean. No, so we really have to make sure that we have the family on board. And really, the surgery for one person ends up helping the whole family, because we see the family members lose weight, get healthier. Activity becomes more of a priority. So by operating on one member of the family, we can help all of them.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely.
This
thank
was
you.
Your first time on air, right?
It was.
Oh, man, great job. I'm telling you, if the doctor thing doesn't ever work out, you have a future in radio.
Very nice of you. Thank you.
Dr. Wanchick from St. Vincent's Healthcare. You can call her office, 904-296-4141. Again, that's 904-296-4141. The show is produced by Ty Ingram. My name is Tim Tompkins. We have a look at your news, weather, and traffic coming up next with Trish Hoppe.